We will debate the meaning of the results in yesterday's recall elections in today's Big Question. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, August the 10th. Every Wednesday at this time, we pick an issue facing Wisconsin or the nation and two guests to debate it. Today, following yesterday's historic recall elections, we will wonder what the outcome means for the future of Wisconsin. Democrats won two of the six Republican Senate seats up for recall. Republicans retained four of them, meaning Republicans maintain the majority in the state Senate, 17-16. And there are also recall elections for two Democratic state senators next week, so it's possible Republicans could add to that majority. Do these election results mean the state supports Governor Walker's agenda and the Republican majority's policies? That's today's big question. 1-800-642-1234. Was this a referendum on Governor Walker? And if so, what was the message sent? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Get in touch via Twitter. Or you can also vote in our online poll at WPR.org/joy. Our guests are Scott Ross, Executive Director of One Wisconsin Now. Good morning.
Hello, Joy.
And David Blaska, former Dane County Supervisor and author of Blaska's Blog. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, David, I will let you start since on the weekend review prior to the recall elections, you predicted that two Republican state senators would be defeated yesterday, and the other four would retain their seats. So I guess you got that one right.
It's a gift, Joy, and I claim no credit for it.
Well, what do you think the message sent here is?
Well, I think if you've got a recall Scott Walker sign in your front yard, you might want to donate it to the Historical Society. The recall is not going to happen for two reasons. One, I think the air has been let out of the balloon, and that's a good metaphor for some of the protesters who have, you know, let the balloons go in the Capitol Rotunda. But also because of the fact that this Republican legislature, and believe me, I enjoy saying that, is going to drastically revise the recall statutes.
Well, we'll have plenty to talk about here. Scott Ross, what message do you think was sent by the recall elections yesterday?
I think that this was a clear rejection of the anti-working family, pro-corporate special interest agenda of Scott Walker and the Republican legislature and their overreaches, their massive overreaches. We've only had two senators recalled in America, you know, in history. And last night, two senators were recalled, and they were recalled directly for the actions that they took against the working people of Wisconsin. And so I think it was a big, huge victory for a more balanced approach to how we approach government. And I think it's a clear rejection of the Walker agenda.
But in the other four Senate districts, Republicans, for the most part, handily defeated their Democratic challengers. Does that mean, as David suggests, that a recall of Governor Walker is not in the offing?
No, absolutely not. I think that Governor Walker will likely be recalled next year, and I look forward to that. You have to remember, we're talking about six Republican districts, six Republican Senate districts that were kept by the Republicans in 2008, despite Barack Obama winning by 440,000 votes here in the state of Wisconsin by 14%. When the people of these districts looked up and they said, you know, for instance, with, you know, Dan Kopanky and with Randy Hopper, these were the two deciding votes to attack the rights of 175,000 workers. And as a result of what they've done, they no longer have jobs. And I think that, you know, what's huge on this is the fact that if this legislature was there now, that attack on working families would not be able to pass. It wouldn't be able to pass.
And David Blaska, that's got to be somewhat of a slap in the face to have these two Republicans go down in these Republican districts.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I guess Dan Kopanky would be surprised that it's a Republican district. Now, that's a district that went 62% for Barack Obama. This is a district that was represented for most of its history by Democrats. Mark Meyer was the state senator there in the La Crosse area. You know, talk about Randy Hopper and Oshkosh Fond du Lac. He only won by 163 votes in 08. 163 votes. And then he's got some personal baggage, you know, some allegations of mistresses and whatnot. That is going to hurt any candidate, and he barely lost. Now, here, let's just take a little look at some statistics. Senator Harsdorf, Sheila Harsdorf in the River Falls area, she got 58% of the vote last night. That's better than she did 4 years ago. Roberta Darling, the target of all this, where the tremendous spending on resources and union activity was waged against her, she got 54% of the vote. 4 years ago, she got barely 50%, just a little over 50%. She snuck by and just beat Sheldon Wasserman that year. This year, she stomps a state representative from her district.
Mm-hmm. Scott?
Well, I mean, there wasn't the amount of Koch brothers money, Club for Growth money, you know, Citizens for a Strong America, Americans Prosperity, whatever you want to call that outfit. The unprecedented, undocumented corporate spending that went into these recalls. I mean, I know you're going to talk about, you know, the resources on the progressive side and labor, but labor and the progressive side was vastly outspent by unprecedented corporate money here in the state of Wisconsin. Corporate money that wasn't reported, and that came in to protect the corporate agenda of Scott Walker. And the reason they did it, why did they do it? Because these Republicans doled out $2.3 billion in tax breaks for corporations and for the rich in the last 6 months.
Mm-hmm. David?
Well, you're still campaigning. You know, if the Koch brothers donated that much money here, what makes you think they won't for Scott Walker? That's why I say this ain't going to happen.
Let me hold you both there. We're going to take a quick pause and start taking calls as well. We are talking with David Blaska and Scott Ross during today's Big Question debate, and we are debating the meaning of yesterday's recall elections in Wisconsin, where six Republican state senators faced recall. Two of them were. Four of them retained their seat. And we welcome your reactions, your questions, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Checking the weather forecast for today, mostly sunny with highs today in the 70s. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Hoping you'll stay tuned. More election results coming up after 9 o'clock when Kathleen Dunn talks with a reporter and a political analyst about the recall elections in Wisconsin yesterday. We'll take a break from state politics after 8. We'll be talking with the author of Rocking the Casbah, Rage and Rebellion Across the Islamic World, coming up after 8 o'clock. We are debating today's big question, and that is whether yesterday's recall election results indicate the state supports Governor Scott Walker and the Republican legislature or not. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Talking with Scott Ross, Executive Director of One Wisconsin Now, and David Blaska, who is author of Blaska's blog. And our first caller is Lauren in Delavan. Hello, Lauren.
Hi, Joy. Thanks a lot for taking my call. My comment is just the following, is that twice now the voters of Wisconsin have rejected the Democrats' divisive of campaigning, and I'm just wondering now, are they ready to face the fact that they lost and they're ready to follow the people of Wisconsin and move forward? That's my comment. I'll take it off to you. Mm-hmm. Thanks a lot, Joy.
I think that's for you, Scott.
Well, I think that your caller is ignoring the fact that just so much corporate money came in to try and, I guess he was talking about April's election with David Prosser first. You know, anybody who doesn't see last night's events is a stunning rebuke of Governor Walker and the Republicans' overreach, I think, is just denying themselves, denying the fact that an incredible outpouring of opposition to what Scott Walker and the Republicans have done has happened over the last 6 months. And you see it in, you know, and this happened before a lot of these things even went into effect in terms of, you know, the $1.6 billion that's going to be less available for public schools, the $250 million cut from the University of Wisconsin, the $70 million cut from technical colleges, and of course, again, that lovely $70 million increase in taxes for seniors and the working poor. I mean, I know Dave right now is very happy because Scott Fitzgerald will still be calling the shots in the state Senate, albeit with a very, very narrow majority and one swing member in Dale Schultz, who's very unhappy with the way things are going. But come next year, after the remaining money from the stimulus package is gone from public schools, and these schools in 2012 start massive, massive layoffs of teachers, massive closings of schools, and huge numbers of classes and curricula items that will be no longer available to our public school students because of what Governor Walker and the Republicans did, I mean, people will be running to sign those petitions
well,
to recall
Scott,
Walker, Dave.
Scott, you know, your hyperbole didn't work Tuesday, and it's not working on Wednesday. So, I mean, that's the fact of the matter. You know, I still am waiting for my check from the Koch brothers. I have a little more faith in the intelligence of the Wisconsin voter. They made intelligent decisions. They saw their local school districts thrive and survive. Yes, in Milwaukee, they could have avoided 200 layoffs, but the union said, "We got ours. You new teachers who've got, you know, fire in your bellies to teach, you're on unemployment." That was the decision they made, and that was the unity that they promoted. And you know, it's an interesting thing because we had a $3.6 billion deficit. They closed the state of Minnesota down for, you know, for a couple of weeks. We're seeing the dysfunction in Washington, D.C. Here's a state that's paying its bills. That's what the people are seeing. Here is kids aren't pouring bleach into their Cheerios in the morning. Things are working in Wisconsin. Things are looking up in Wisconsin as compared to the dysfunction in our neighboring states of Illinois and Minnesota and in Washington, D.C.
Let me get another caller, even though that bleach in the cereal thing puzzled me a little bit. Bill in Columbus. Hello, Bill.
Hi. You know, the simple fact is there are two less Republicans in the legislature than there were yesterday. So we knocked off a third of the people that were being recalled. I don't think you can ignore that. And Luther Olson, who's handily won all his elections, squeaked by with 52%. If I was Scott Walker, I'd be sweating bullets this morning. And he will definitely be recalled. You can't be. This election is about taking rights away from people, about trying to remove people's voting rights. You know, this is not something that's done in America. And the only people who are cheering this morning are the wealthy.
Would that be you, David?
You know, I'd like it to be. I guess I still have that American dream that, you know, if you succeed, you get rewarded. But some of my friends here in the studio may not agree with that.
Are you ignoring, though, the defeat of two Republican state senators in a very a close call for a couple others?
Yeah, you got one with a mistress in Madison and some laundry there. And the other guy, Dan Kopanky, God bless him, was swimming upstream for all that time in a district that went 62% for Obama. And was represented by Democrats. That was high watermark. But by the way, you know, I also predicted on your previous show, Kim Simek will take on Jim Halperin, next Tuesday. And I think she wins that district. So, we'll be down a total of one, when this all is said and done, despite national attention. And by the way, the next time we have an election, it'll be in November of, 2012. And you won't be able to concentrate on just six districts like you did last night. So your resources will be spread. You did carpet bombing. You made the rubble bounce in Alberta Darling's district, and she still stands.
Mm-hmm. Scott?
Well, I think, let's come back to what this is supposed to be all about. I mean, the Republicans got the majority, and they got the governor's office by promising to create jobs. And now 7 months into things, what happened? We had 25 straight months of the unemployment rate in the state of Wisconsin falling. And what happened under Governor Walker? It remained stagnant. It dropped by a tiny tenth of a percent. And then just this last month, the unemployment rate in the state of Wisconsin rose by 2/10%, the highest rate of any state in the nation. So Governor Walker's approach,
well,
which is
true.
It's absolutely true. This is from the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
It is the highest
percentage rate of increase in the.
It was two tenths of a percent.
It's not going in the right direction after Governor Walker lardered up corporations with new tax breaks.
And we added 10,000 jobs. That's why, you know, and here's the thing. When you open in fact, my wife just called. She wants a little part-time job. She called in. Now, if she were to be interviewed by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, she would be put down as unemployed because she made a phone call applying for a job. Did you apply for a job? Yes. You're in the workforce? Yes. Otherwise, she's retired. So she now goes down as unemployed because when you create jobs, when you advertise new jobs being created, you have applicants for this. So if you have 50 jobs, and you might have 100 applicants.
Dave, it's simple fact.
The simple fact is Barack Obama has lost 2.5 million jobs.
We're getting away from our message here, but
no, it's very clear that the Governor Walker and the Republicans' approach is a failure. The unemployment rate has risen in the state of Wisconsin, despite them again giving out $2.3 billion in tax breaks for the
dollar short with that message.
Anthony and Kiwani, hi, you're on the air.
Hey, pretty spirited discussion going on. Before both guests were talking about how this will impact the race. Well, I guess the potential recall of Governor Walker. And I think the message this sends to the Republicans is that yes, recall is possible, and yes, it probably will happen. But it also sent a pretty clear message to the Democrats that you can't just put someone in the Democrat spot and expect them to win and win a recall election. We saw that in River Falls last night, where the Democrat who was just a teacher got just hammered. So if the Wisconsin Democrats want to recall Walker, they're going to have to put a pretty strong candidate in against him.
Mm-hmm. And Scott Ross, who might that be?
Oh, man, come on. Come on, I am not ready to announce here. It's too early in the morning. The caller makes a great point. And I think, you know, again, if you want to talk about why we got to this point, the overreaches, the protecting corporations instead of the middle class, and at the expense of the middle class. I mean, Governor Walker yesterday, in the midst of all of this activity going all over the state, what did he do? He signed the worst redistricting law that we have ever had in Wisconsin history, one that is so clearly unconstitutional because of the things that it does in order to rig the elections further for the Republicans. I mean, you know, Governor Walker last night had a statement out saying, oh, I'm going to work with the Republicans and Democrats now. But, like, again, his actions are so much different than the nonsense rhetoric that he offers.
David?
Yeah, where were you on Tuesday when Sandy Pash could have used you? You know, look, let's just clear up this corporation thing. Out of the budget, governor sent a small signal saying Wisconsin's open for business. We're not going to punish job providers. So the reduction that he provided amounted to 0.05% of the total budget. That was a small sign to the business community that, you know, he increased by 50% Medicaid payments to poor people who are sick and ill. So, but we did have a budget deficit. I think people are saying in tough times, yes, it's okay to ask our public employees to take a little bit of a nick and whatnot. And that's not an assault on the middle class. You know, the middle class is unemployed. If you look at the nation, unemployment's over 9%. We've seen the stock market crater here in recent days. That's the problem.
The middle class just took a nick with the public employee stuff. Scott, you kind of rolled your eyes at that.
Scott Walker and the Republicans were trying to destroy the rights of 175,000 working people, and the evidence is incontrovertible on that. When Governor Walker put his plan out and said, I want the unions to pay more in pensions, I want the unions to pay more in health care, I want these working people to pay more, that's my shared sacrifice. Within days, they said, okay, you got the financial stuff. Just let us keep our ability to collectively bargain like Republican and Democratic governors have done for decades. And he absolutely refused to meet with them. Absolutely. He just wanted to try and rig the system in his favor.
Scott, the fact of the matter is that just 2 years ago, university professors were granted by the Doyle administration the right to organize. So this is not for decades and decades. The state employees since 1959. But let's talk about Barack Obama a little bit.
We can't talk about Barack Obama now because we have a newscast coming up. And we do want to kind of keep it on these state election results. And we are talking with David Blaska and Scott Ross, our two guests for today's Big Question debate. We are debating the meaning of the recall election outcome yesterday. Democrats won 2 of the 6 Republican Senate seats that were up for recall. Republicans retained 4 of them, giving Republicans a one-vote majority in the state Senate. What does this mean? After the news. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine at 7:36 on this Wednesday, August the 10th. In this edition of The Big Question, we have two guests from different political perspectives debating the meaning of yesterday's recall election outcome. David Blaska is a former Dane County supervisor and author of Blaska's Blog. He is with us, as is Scott Ross, executive director of One Wisconsin Now. And we welcome your input as well at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or get in touch via Twitter. And remember, we have an online poll, as we always do every Wednesday during The Big Question. You can go online at wpr.org/joy or find it linked to the Facebook page to vote on whether you think the outcome of the election yesterday shows that the state of Wisconsin supports Governor Walker's policies, Governor Walker and the Republican legislature's agenda. Is that the message that was sent or not? Let us know. You know, Scott Ross, Luther Olson, one of the Republicans who did retain his seat in the recall elections yesterday, said that he thought that the election results took the wind out of the sails for the Walker recall. Tell us why it hasn't.
Oh, well, because it was a historic night in terms of, you know, the fact that this amazing outpouring of opposition to Governor Walker's agenda that not only resulted in, you know, 180,000 signatures being collected in these districts to force the recalls, but the fact that only two senators have been recalled in history. And last night, that was doubled. It was doubled by the people of Wisconsin. And it was doubled by the people of Wisconsin despite the unprecedented corporate spending that went into these races. Corporate spending that went into these races, again, because Governor Walker's agenda is about putting corporations before the middle class and before the rights of working people.
Tell us, David, why you don't think that this does take the wind out of the sails of the recall of Governor Walker.
Well, the middle class and working people spoke yesterday in the ballot box and the polling place. That is indeed what democracy looks like. The fact of the matter is you had one very Democratic seat where the guy finally, Dan Kopanky, finally got knocked off. And the other was a rematch of the race in which Randy Hopper won by 163. Now he loses. And, you know, despite all the personal baggage, which would have sunk anyone. In fact, the reason I thought he would lose and then I was hearing he was doing much better was because of all that. You just don't survive that kind of thing. You know, I think Scott Ross has his Madison blinders on. Yes, I'll grant you this. The outpouring was significant. It was historic. But it's a minority opinion.
And you also, though, hinted that there's going to be legislation that will make recall elections more difficult in the state of Wisconsin, that the Republicans will push through it, and they still have the majority.
They do indeed. I think Scott Walker himself has said, the Fitzgeralds have said, that Luther Olson has said you ought not to be recalled for simply balancing the budget and taking a vote. You know, interesting that here in Madison, the Capital Times came out against recalls when Chuck Koala, who at the time was charged with multiple felonies, some of which he pled guilty to, they said there should not be a recall. Let the voters, let the term play out. Let the legal system play out. I could see a thing where they'd say you can't do a recall unless there's been a criminal indictment. I mean, something like that. Wisconsin is one of fewer than 20 states in the nation that have recall anyway. The assembly is essentially recall proof because they're only in for 2 years. So, you know, and the law now says you have to be in for at least a year. So I think also this would be a very popular legislation. People are fatigued by this never-ending election. I mean, Russ Feingold in June here in the Capitol Square, he said, "It's not over until we win." Well, you know, it is over. We had an election. Now we had another one.
Scott, what about this making it harder to recall?
Well, I think that it would be par for the course. I mean, again, we're talking about reckless lawlessness by this administration that first muscled through this bill after they claimed that it wasn't a financial bill. We don't need to go back to that. But then they passed the nation's most restrictive photo ID bill. You know, straight out of Jim Crow, a poll tax, top to bottom, going to be thrown out after people are disenfranchised as a result of it. Then they passed through this redistricting bill that, again, Governor Walker waits till the final day to sign. The final day to sign in the midst of when these recall elections are going, that's just sleazy. It's just sleazy. So I would not be, I think Dave's right. You know, the Republicans have shown their willingness to rig elections in their favor and use their power in order to protect themselves. So I wouldn't be surprised, but I think that the response would be There would be general outrage about changing the system, a system we've had in place, in order to hold elected officials accountable when they go too far, which is exactly what happened here in this lack of shared sacrifice that the Republicans have offered.
Briefly, David, was that sleazy for the governor to sign the redistricting law on the at the last minute there?
No, I don't think anyone. I don't know of anyone except the hyperpartisan attack dog who would say that, to be honest about it. This, by the way, already won a federal lawsuit that's been thrown out on redistricting. This plan will survive. In fact, it actually puts some Republicans out, too, against each other. So it's an interesting thing, too. Now we've got Mark Pocan and a few other Dane County legislators saying, well, let's have a commission do this. Too bad they didn't introduce that when they had the majority. They thought that they'd take over, and they didn't.
They did, but it didn't go through.
Yeah, they were too busy trying to keep the state economy from collapsing after the.
All right, let me move back to the phones and go to Rick in Fond du Lac. Hello, Rick.
Mission fail, by the way.
Hi. I had heard that. Well, thank you for taking my call. I had heard, I think it was on public radio, that the Democrats had downplayed the collective bargaining issue during this campaign. Is that correct?
Scott?
Then I have a question after that.
Well, what is the question?
Well, if that's true, that they downplayed it, I just can't believe why they would have done that. That was their issue. Mm-hmm. That's what brought 100,000 people plus to Madison. And for them to downplay that issue was just, I thought from a political or election perspective, was stupid. And I can't believe... All they had to do during the campaign, I thought, was say, we've had collective bargaining for 50 years. People worked hard to get that through, and now you're going to pass that. We have the Republicans are going to pass that in 4 days. If that's the kind of governance you want, vote the Republican. If you want something different, vote Democratic. But they didn't play that up.
Yeah, why, thank you very much, Rick. Why didn't the Democrats play that up, Scott Ross?
Well, I think that one of the things with that is a lot of people had made their mind up on that. And there was so much. I think that if the Republicans had stopped their assault on the middle class with just the attack on those 175,000 working Wisconsinites, I think it's likely that would have been. But they did so many terrible things in the state budget. Again, $1.6 billion less available for public education, $250 million cut from the University of Wisconsin, cuts to public radio, that we're all enjoying today. I mean, just an endless assault on the middle class. And in fact, again, and Dave, if you can answer this question for me, Governor Walker and the Republicans called for shared sacrifice. Can you point to one sacrifice asked of corporate America and corporations in this budget bill? Can you answer me that question at long last? What did Governor Walker ask corporations to sacrifice?
He asked corporations to move into Wisconsin. He asked corporations to come here and provide jobs for people. He asked corporations to provide good-paying manufacturing jobs, and they're starting to respond. Why do you want to continue the assault on job providers? Look, the only thing that he can control is how much the state spends. He can't actually dragoon Motorola and get them into Wisconsin from Illinois. He can try to invite them here. But what he has control over is the state budget. And when the money isn't there, when the one-time stimulus money runs out, which it has run out, by the way, and it propped up Jim Doyle's budget the last time around, plus in stealing money from the patient's compensation fund, et cetera, et cetera. So that's all he can do.
In other words, though, Scott, you don't think necessarily it was a mistake like our caller did to broaden the message of the Democratic candidates to all of these things rather than focus in on the unfairness of the collective bargaining restriction.
Again, I think there were lots of communications to that effect.
Mm-hmm. No, there weren't. That's the
I think for sure. Mm-hmm.
No, and there weren't, and that's the interesting thing. Scott, you're right to a certain extent that the people who were already convinced it was not a winning issue because so many people don't have a defined pension plan to begin with. So to have folks pay 5.8%, in other words, half of their pension, doesn't seem unreasonable to people. It's not an assault on the middle class. And the one candidate who I thought did a good job, Sheila Harsdorf, of bringing out the dysfunction and the Madison mob mentality. She showed videos, or at least on her behalf, TV ads were shown of Shelley Moore shaking her fist on the square saying, I breathe unions. I mean, it was scary. And that's what these folks ran against, and that's what folks rebelled against, and that's how they voted last night.
You know what I think is scary? I think that after doling out $2.3 billion in tax breaks to corporations and the rich, that General Electric's X-ray division in Waukesha County, which has been headquartered there since 1947, my parents both were born in 1947, I think it's scary that they're fleeing to go to China. That Governor Walker, despite his low-road approach that we're going to out-Alabama, when it comes to education, when it comes to doling out unaccountable corporate tax breaks, that the result of that after 7 months of Walker's leadership is that GE is fleeing, not just Waukesha, but they're in Wisconsin, but they're fleeing the United States.
Let me. We have lots of callers and emails, including Don in Door County, who emails. The fact that everyone seems to have forgotten is that only half of the Republican senators were eligible to be recalled. If my Republican state senator, Frank Lissay, was eligible for recall, he would have gone down. David?
He might find a job in Scott Ross's outfit.
You don't dispute that maybe other Republican state senators might have been defeated had they been eligible for recall?
Who knows?
Yeah. Scott?
Who knows? I like that.
Okay, who knows? Steve in Broadhead is with us now. Hello, Steve.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I thought it was a great effort that was made to try to, get rid of these Republicans. And I grew up in this state. I got a great public education in Green Bay, grade school and high school, and then I went to college in Madison. And I'm just in despair because I think those days are over. I think with these people in control, we are a second-rate state now. We are Alabama. We are one of the dirt-eating states. So I just can't believe people couldn't quite go that little bit farther and get the other two Republicans out of there so we could have some break on what the Republicans are doing.
You know, and this is almost, I think, cause for mental health intervention, because why would anyone, a family man like let's say Scott Walker, why would he want to make the state of Wisconsin into a brownfield or into a radioactive dump? He doesn't want to do that at all. He wants to get Wisconsin working again. He's asked for some temporary, probably. We'll see if this economy improves and unemployment tax revenue comes in because we have more taxpayers, not more taxes. One thing you've got to say, I think, Scott Ross, is Republicans want what's best for the state of Wisconsin and its people. And we may differ in how to get there, but this perfervid language, this creating of these bogeymen, it shortchanges real discussion.
Scott Ross, why would Governor Walker want to make this a second-rate state?
Well, it's not that he wants to make it a second-rate state. It's that his policies have proven to fail over and over again, time and time again. You know, tax breaks for rich people do not create middle-class jobs. They do not create the jobs that are the real drivers of this economy. And if, in fact, if corporate tax breaks and tax breaks for the rich created jobs, why did we hemorrhage jobs after George Bush got all the tax breaks in the world that he wanted for rich people? Tax breaks that have brought us to the brink of economic collapse.
Well, we've hemorrhaged 2.5 million jobs since Biden. I'm going to bring up Barack Obama here, since he keeps talking about this. We've hemorrhaged 2.5 million jobs under Barack Obama. So, who, by the way, does not give any. And it was Jimmy Carter who took away federal employees' rights to collectively bargain. Barack Obama decided unilaterally no pay raises for federal employees. I mean, there was no bargaining.
Time for a quick break, and then we will be back and take more calls with your questions and views on the meaning of yesterday's recall election results. We had two Democratic challengers prevailing and defeating the two incumbent Republican state senators, and the other four Republican state senators who were up for recall retained their seats, and Republicans, the GOP, retains control of the state Senate. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, along with Scott Ross and David Blaska, and they are debating today's big question, which is, did the results in yesterday's recall elections signal that the state supports Governor Walker's agenda or not? Yes, no, or somewhere in between. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Jeff in Milwaukee is with us. Hello, Jeff.
Hi. I think Republican voters need to wake up, probably nationwide. You know, supporting Tea Party platforms of refusing to increase taxes on the millions per year super rich. You know, the super rich probably are those making more than a million per year, and allowing hideous corporate influence peddling, bribery of officials is unconstitutional. They need to be aware of that.
What do you mean, bribery of officials?
The big money that's coming from corporations and that's coming mainly to Republicans is not legal in the Constitution to allow that kind of bribery.
Yeah, so campaign donations, I take it.
Yeah, campaign donations, and it's for legislators or Supreme Court justices. That Supreme Court judgment on Citizens United, that's absolutely illegal.
And thanks, Jeff, but you want to link this to yesterday's election?
The way I'm linking it is one reason why we didn't have more influence is because of these illegal, unconstitutional efforts on the part of Republicans.
So people are stupid? Is that what you're saying? I don't understand this. If people can't sort things out, they can't say, this is true, this isn't. They're sheep. They're easily led. I don't get it. I mean, this is Wisconsin. I think we have one of the most intelligent electorates in the nation here. Made a decision yesterday based on the information.
Yeah, which is what we do have, one of the most intelligent electorates in the nation. We have one of the best public school systems. So that's what so the real crime is what Governor Walker and the Republicans are going to do to our public schools. Dave, if you want to stand up for a system that right now has 400 human beings in all of America having more wealth than 150 million Americans, go for it. But like, I think the people of Wisconsin think a lot that we need a much more stratified system in which the middle class has a little bit more freedom and a little bit more rights.
Let's go to Jeff in Stevens Point. Hello, Jeff.
Hi, I have a question for Scott. I support what Walker did. I think that, what we needed is to get fiscal responsibility in our government. Scott, I mean, which you're talking about how you support the middle class worker. Which one do you support, the public sector union workers or the private sector workers?
I don't think there's a difference. I support all. I mean, I think that the middle class has been left behind. Our wages have stagnated since 1970, and that all comes after we started handing out after we changed the tax code to reward wealth as opposed to work. So, you know, I'm standing up for workers and middle class. Doesn't matter whether you're Republican, Democrat, Independent, Green, whatever. You know, the middle class is what made America great. And the changes in what has happened over the last 30, 40 years and wages being stagnant are the reason that our economy has come to a grinding halt. That coupled with deregulation, again, to enrich the corporations that finance this, the Republican effort on the recalls last night.
Mm-hmm. David, do you want to comment on this at all?
No.
All right. Let's go to Paul in Menominee Falls. Hello, Paul.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say that I'm really disenchanted with the winner-take-all, and the Republicans seem to advance this to no end, both nationally and in regards to our state. And I wonder if both of these commentators could comment on that. In any race, if you have whatever, even if it's 60-40, we'll say, for instance, and the losing party has 40%, we still want a legislature that's going to represent all of us. Okay. And when they say that the voters have spoken and Scott Walker is moving ahead with, you know, what the voters have said, I didn't vote for that. And I'm thinking to myself, how is my voice being heard? I mean, this stuff is being railroaded through. And I just want both of the commentators just to kind of talk about.
That's a good place to end this probably. Is there going to be any more compromise? I think that's what Paul is looking for, not just my way or the highway. David?
Well, I think there has been compromise. I think even on the collective bargaining, they changed some things after testimony. But, we have elections, and elections have consequences. I seem to remember a certain president by the name of Obama who told that to Paul Ryan.
Will there be more compromise from this day forward, Scott Ross, or not?
No, I don't think so. And I think, you know, again, signing the redistricting bill yesterday while the recalls were going on right at the deadline is a good indication of that. And I think that, you know, what was said, you know, there was a really shocking story this week from Dale Schultz, who voted against the collective bargaining bill, in which he alleged that Governor Walker sort of gave him a ruse and kept him in his office instead of allowing him to go to the floor to offer his compromise amendment that would have ended the collective bargaining right withdrawal after 2 years. And I'm going to have to go back to the legislation, David, to see what the compromise of the Republicans and the changes that the Republicans made on it, because I am absolutely unaware of that.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll have to leave it there for now because we are out of time. I want to thank both of you for coming in. I'm sure we will talk again in the future. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Scott Ross, Executive Director of One Wisconsin Now, and David Blaska, former Dane County Supervisor and author of Blaska's Blog, talking with us about the recall elections yesterday. You can go to our poll online and vote on what you think the message is from yesterday's recall elections. That's at WPR.org/joy. It's also linked to the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And more election talk coming up after 9 o'clock. Kathleen Dunn will be talking with a reporter and a political analyst about what happened yesterday and what it means and what the future might hold. Coming up after 8 o'clock, we will change topics. We will talk about the uprisings in the Islamic world. Coming up after 8. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.